I'd like to invite y'all this morning into a reading from the Hebrew scriptures from the Old Testament. It's the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, and starting at verse 2, continuing through verse 7. The translation I'm using this morning is from the New Revised Standard Version. That's the updated edition of that version. There's a book that has all these scriptures that are bound together and is extraordinarily helpful when you're standing in this position right here. And I will tell you, it is extraordinarily valuable when you're in other places too. But this is where it is. That's what I scooted down to get this morning. But the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2 through verse 7. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen. You'll see it. I feel better with mine being close to me. I invite you to hear these words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exultation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. Where all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The seal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks on this day for the words that you are speaking in our midst. We are thankful, O God, for the power that these words have. And we pray and ask that as our hearts meet together, that you will equip us so that we may meditate upon these words. And Lord, that they will become living words for us. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart, for the words that you have given to me. I pray that as I preach this morning, the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable to you. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who saves us. Amen. You know, it wasn't that long ago that one of my girls, I've got three daughters that live at home, got four, and then Thomas, I've got five in total, but the ones that are living at home, not too long ago, and I'd tell you exactly when it was, about 9 weeks ago, one of them said, "Daddy, do you know that there are 9 Fridays until 2025? And I said, "No, I didn't know that there were 9 Fridays until 2025. And I said, "You know, honestly, don't tell me that. Don't talk about stuff like that because, you know, I don't need to know that right now, today, that there are 9 Fridays until 2025. Because, you know, honestly, I'm just trying to get through this Friday. I'm not looking that far ahead yet." But, you know, there is something, and as random as that idea is, that, you know, that there's 9 weeks away until a whole new year, until a whole brand new year, as random as that is, and as much as I've not paid attention to it on that Friday, as much as, well, and honestly, this one, she probably not paid attention to it. She just heard it and just saw what someone else talking about it. There is something. There is something about when we hear this, that there's this many weeks, that there's this many days, there's something about that sort of gives us, it makes us pause, gives us a brand new perspective when we just start to pay attention to the number of days and the number of weeks and the number of months and the number of years. It's no surprise. It's no surprise to any of us that as we meet on this day, the first Sunday in December, and now closer and closer to the day of Christmas, it's no surprise that we would make an effort to know the days, to know how many days there are to Christmas, to know how many weeks there are to Christmas. It's not just us here at Grace Point, but there are Christians for thousands of years have come together and they have counted and they have marked time. They've done it with songs, and songs that are just as beautiful as what we've sung this morning. They've done it with scripture readings. They've done it with people that were trained as far as clergy, and they've also done it with people who were not trained in any way other than the way that God has called them into a space, and they have come and they have stood to light a candle and offer words that says, Christ is our hope. And that is what we're doing, is that we are here to count the days, not just the random thoughts or the random ideas that may come to us every now and then because someone's talked about them, but we're here to count the days and to say that this is a moment starting from today that we are going to invite God to move us away from the darkness and to move us into the light. And that's what I want you to do, is to imagine that as we are moving week in and week out, and as we are moving closer and closer to Christmas, I want you to remember this day. I want you to be able to look back at this day. I remember this day as we're celebrating December 25th and saying, where has God moved me? Where are the places that God has moved my heart and my soul and my spirit as I have moved from darkness and closer to light? Have you noticed how many encounters happen in the dark around the birth of Jesus? You know, it was shepherds that were abiding. Isn't that so poetic? The Gospel of Luke captures it for us. And if you're not quite comfortable and quite sure about the Gospel of Luke, even Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang can teach you this one. Well, there were shepherds who were abiding in the fields, keeping a watch over their flocks by night. I mean, how beautiful and how poetic is that? Now, essentially what this is these are shepherds who are on night watch actually living in the fields. And as poetic and as beautiful as it may sound, it was dirty, and at times it was hard and very difficult work. And yet there they were in the dark, and the angels gathered around, and the glory of God shone all around them. But again, night. Wise men, which are from a whole different area, wise men from the east who, at the birth of Jesus Christ, see a star that is rising, and they determine among themselves that they are going to journey to see this child that has been born. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine the many sleepless nights that Joseph must have encountered before an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife? All of them, as well as many, many others, but all of them moving from darkness into the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah, thousands of years before the birth of Jesus, will say, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And this is the move that I'm inviting you to make in this season of Advent as we prepare for the birth of Jesus. A move for us that is out of darkness and into the light. And you may be saying, well, I've been trying. I've been counting down those days till I get here. I've been trying my best to move from that darkness. I've been trying my best to come into the light. You just don't know how dark it really is for me. I remember and also those dark places that can come to us unexpected at times. I remember that I was walking into a church that I've been serving for a couple of years, and I went into the educational building, and I just went in to pick up something, and look, there was a little bit of afternoon light that was coming through the windows, but there was not much. I mean, it's pretty dark. But I was moving through there, and I thought, well, you know, I don't need to turn on the light. I'm a bit older now, so I know every single time that I go into a room, I do need to turn on the light. I know that the light does need to be on, that I should not make that journey without turning on the light. But on that day, I didn't turn on the light. And you know what happened? I hit the corner of a platform that I was not expecting and fell flat on my face. Well, I will say that. I will correct that. I was younger at that time, so I was able to catch myself. I did catch myself and not land completely on my face there. But it was my own self that's saying, I don't need the light. And you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to fall, unfortunately. But you also know what it feels like not to use the light that God's made available to us. That's what I want to invite you to do. That over these few weeks, and they will move by as fast as you think they will move by as quickly as you can imagine that they're going to, but I want you to use the light that God is giving us, to use the light that God is revealing and uncovering to us, to use the light that is right there in front of us that is so easy to miss, especially when we get caught up so quick and we're not counting, and we're not moving toward Christmas. Jesus, when he was preparing for his own death, and began to share that with his disciples. One of the great gifts, I think, that we have in the Gospel of John that's in the New Testament is that there are many times when Jesus will say the kinds of things about his own death that, you know, Southern polite people, we know you just can't talk that way. Jesus just shares it out in the open with his disciples. But Jesus will say to them, he says, for a brief time, still the light is among you. And he says, walk by the light you have so that darkness doesn't destroy you. And that's beautiful enough. But then, and this is again from John chapter 12, is 33 through 36. But then Jesus says, if you walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going. As you have the light, believe in the light, then the light will be within you and shining through your lives. You'll be children of light. Now, Isaiah will say it even more explicitly. He will say, as we walk as children in the light of Christ, that is, we walk as children in the light of what God is able to accomplish in our world. The prophet Isaiah will say this, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor shall be broken. And you notice those images, the yoke, that's Isaiah chapter 9 verse 4. So reading from this morning. But notice those images, the yoke, the bar, the rod. They're instruments of violence that were used on people who were enslaved. And as God spoke to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 reminds us, as God spoke to Moses, God says to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people, and I have come down to help them. That's what we make explicit on this morning. On this first Sunday of the season of Advent, a season of preparation in our hearts, a season of preparation in our lives, a season of preparation even for the world, is that God is coming down, and God is coming and being present with us to help us as we move from darkness into light. And as we prepare and as we do count the days to Christmas, may the yoke of our burdens be left in the dark. May the bar that has held us down for too long, may it be broken and no longer on our shoulders. And may the rod of those people, as well as the rod of those things that have oppressed us in this past year, may they finally be broken. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the light. We thank you, O God, for the call that you have given to us on this day. A call, Lord, that is so easy to take for granted. A call that is so easy to miss. And one that when we are caught up in our day-to-day lives a call, Lord, that is so easy to ignore. You've called us to be children of light. And although, Lord, we know that the light is going to increase more and more through this month, we pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, for the light that you are already revealing to us, the light of Christ, we pray and ask, Lord, that it will truly move us away from those dark places and those dark journeys that we have taken in our lives. And that, Lord, as children of the light, that you will let us live fully into the salvation and the forgiveness and the redemption, Lord, that you freely offer to all of your people. For it's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit that we pray together. Amen. And it is in the